The word angel, both in Hebrew and in Greek, in the Old and New Testaments, means messenger. Angels are God's messengers. As we heard in our psalm this morning, angels do God's bidding. And we see that throughout Scripture. God sends out his angels to enlarge our understanding of his grace. Sometimes that message comes through the eye as angels reveal the glory and power of God through his majestic and mighty acts. Sometimes their message comes to our ears as they speak the word of God. Sometimes they come through the nose as they lift up those bowls of incense, as John sees in his revelation, which are the prayers of the saints. Sometimes their message comes through touch, as angels take hold of us physically to prevent disaster and deliver us from evil. Sometimes their work comes to us through taste, as in Isaiah's vision, when burning coals are brought to his lips and he's assured of his forgiveness and the forgiveness of God's people. There is a common message that angels bring, and that message is, you are loved beyond your human capacity to understand. You are loved beyond what your human senses can take in and what your earthly experience can conjure. Angels bring us the perspective of unfallen, uncorrupted, unearthly creatures. They are sinless, they are perfect, heavenly beings created by God for his service and for ours. Just think about that for a moment. These higher creatures were made to serve us lower creatures. That in itself should astound us, that God would employ these angelic spirits to serve us who are mere flesh and blood. In the Bible, they sometimes appear as glorious and bright stars, and other times as mere mortals or even animals. And that's why Scripture reminds us that we are sometimes entertaining angels unawares. We are often unaware of the activity going around us in the spiritual realms. As Scripture says, our struggle is not merely against flesh and blood, but against the cosmic powers of this world and spiritual forces in the heavenly places. And so we miss God's activity. We miss God's message because we're not listening to his word. We're not looking with the eyes of faith. We're not receptive to God's ways, which are not like our ways, and his thoughts, which are not like our thoughts. Last week, I hiked over 50 miles through the Grand Canyon. No picture can capture the depths, the heights, and the breadth of the wonder of God's creation there, though I did bring back a souvenir. Even now, it's hard for me to convey how insignificant and how small I felt as I walked through the cold shadows and under the blistering sun. Even those who were far taller than me and larger than me shared the blessed discovery of our insignificance and puniness in the face of God and his creation. On one stretch of my hike, I talked to Jeff, He was one of those who were on our team from the Midwest. Jeff told me a story of how he and his friend got lost coming down a high mountain a few years ago. They came down the wrong path. They got lost in a desolate place. The likelihood of finding the right path was long gone. The likelihood of running into another human being was little to none. They shared their hopelessness together, and then a rainstorm began. Their despair grew. And just moments later, a pickup truck off-road was coming their way, driven by an odd but friendly fellow. There is no plausible explanation, Jeff said, why that stranger would show up then and there, why he seemed to already understand their predicament, why he was so willing to drive them for hours to get to the right path and actually back to their car in the middle of a rainstorm. All Jeff and his friend could say after meeting this man was he real? After the man dropped them off and drove off, they asked again, was that real? Those words expressed the wonder and joy of being found and set on the right path. It's the message of God through the angels. You are lost to yourselves, but you're not lost to me or my messengers. Yes, you've sinned, but God still sends you the gift of his forgiveness. You may die, but God will send his angels, just as he did with Lazarus of old, who bore them up on angels' wings. God sends his message that we are never out of his sight through these messengers. His care for us never wears out. His love for us is an eternal love. No earthly tongue can express the majesty, the beauty, and the wonder of God or his creation. No mind can grasp the perplexing grandeur of God's love. That is God's message for you and for me through his holy angels. No eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor heart imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. The angels are there to help us get closer, to see clearer, to hear louder, to feel firmer, to taste and smell sweeter the grace and love of God. That is why we join the angels and archangels and the whole company of heaven at the altar, at the Lord's table, for his supper. They are our witnesses. They share the message to us of Christ's birth, his death, and his resurrection. They tell the indescribable and heavenly gift of God's Son, Jesus, who gives his true body and blood. That's why we sing the song of angels throughout the service. Many of those canticles, those songs that we sing in the bulletin, are straight from the lips of angels. We join their heavenly chorus. What goes on there day and night, we join just for an hour once a week, or all day, every day in our private prayers. Together we celebrate the glory of the eternal Son of God, who gives himself for heavenly food. These are your ministers. These are your own. Lord God of Sabaoth, nearest your throne. These are your messengers, those whom you send, helping your helpless ones, helper and friend. In the name of the Father. and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.